cheer up. You're a lot worse than you think you are. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
That was Steve Brown, and this is Key Life, a no-nonsense approach to God's Word. If you have a Bible, get it, and let's see how it applies to real life. Steve?
Thanks, Mike. If you've been with us the last two or three weeks, we're looking at the little tiny book of Obadiah, and now we're going through the actual text. I spent a lot of time on history, more than I usually do with these books, because this little book has unbelievable diamonds that you find about history and the Edomites and how they were involved with Titus when he destroyed Jerusalem. As a result, well, not as a result, well, maybe as a result, but certainly was a fulfillment of the prophecy of Jesus about what was going to happen. We saw that Herod was an Edomite. We saw how they were involved in such bad stuff for such a long time that if you want to say something really bad about somebody, call them an Edomite. That's about as bad as you can get. And then after spending a lot of time with those exegetical observations diamonds that we've mined, what we're doing now is getting into the actual text of this little book. If you were listening yesterday, we looked at Obadiah 1:1-4, and then we also brought up for your consideration and your memorization Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And we talked about that whatever makes you humble is bringing you to the end of yourself so God can hug you. You ever tried to hug a proud person? You ever try to hug somebody who thinks they're the best thing since sliced bread? You ever tried to hug somebody who was full of themselves? They don't want to be hugged. I mean, they want to be worshipped. And there's a big difference, but when you're really broken, man, you need somebody to hug you and tell you it's going to be all right. And God's business with us is to hug us. And he can't hug us when our power is so strong that we don't see his power in our weakness. All right, brand new as we go on this tour of the small book of Obadiah. If you've got your Bible open and you're in a place where you can do it, read with me the 5th and 6th chapter verses of Obadiah. If these had, you know, we're talking about the Edomites, remember. If these had come to you, if robbers by night, oh, how will you be cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If great gatherers had come to you, would they not have left some gleanings? Oh, how Esau, that's Edom, shall be searched out. How his hidden treasure shall be sought after. All the men in your confederacy. You know, one of the things you hear all the time is that people are really basically good. I want to say, what are you, crazy? People aren't basically good. I'm not basically good. Man, I'm doing the best I can, and I can't even get up to 50% with God's help. I'm a Christian, man. It's hard to be good. You know why it's hard to be good? Because Adam and Eve did some bad stuff, and we didn't get a vote. Because there's something in us, and Paul put it this way, the good that I want to do, I can't do, and the evil I don't want to do is what I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Well, in the particular incidents that we see here is where God is saying about the Edomites, about Esau, look, some thieves will steal enough money, all they want, and that's it. But you go on and steal money you don't even need. I mean, you go. Some people would plunder the crops of a nation for enough to eat and maybe some to ship back home and some to sell. But at least they leave. You go ahead and destroy everything for the pure joy of destroying it. You hear all the time, how could God destroy such a nation? Let me ask you a question. How could God not destroy such a nation? Mr. Graham's quote in... you've heard it a lot, and I've used it a lot, that if God does not judge America, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. That's pretty scary to me. And so, when we look about the goodness of God, I had a lawyer friend. He said, I just started reading the Old Testament, and God's destroying everybody. And then he smiled and said, don't get me wrong, he's my kind of guy. But he's really doing bad stuff. Well, it's this idea that these are wonderful, nice people who do nice things. How could God do this to them? Let me tell you, when justice is meted out, whenever it is meted out, no matter how hard it is meted out, it is deserved because the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things. It's desperately corrupt. Who can understand it? George Wenham, in his book, The Goodness of God, says the question isn't how a good God could do such bad things, but how a just God could be so loving to people who don't deserve it. And I just thought I would point out that the Edomites were not wonderful people. God judged them, but they were not wonderful people. You're not either. I'm not either. I'm better. I'm now his child. I'm not outside. And I'm growing. Still got a long way to go. But I'm better. Because he's making me better. You think about that. I'm in. On Wednesday, we spend some extra time, the latter part of the broadcast, answering questions. My pastor will be in, and we'll answer some questions on Friday. But it's been my practice on Wednesday at the close of the broadcast to answer two or three questions. A couple of things to remember. When you write or call, give us the call letters. Key Life is a member of ECFA in the States and CCCC in Canada. Both of those organizations do the same thing. They make sure that we squeeze every dime, that we're faithful with the gifts that you send. Check out our website, www.keylife.org. A lot of neat stuff there. And you especially want to go there and check out our Poop Pastors Conference coming up in January. We're creating a soft place for God's servants. And if you want to do your pastor and your church and yourself a great service, you pay their way to the Pooped Pastors Conference in Orlando in January. That's January 23rd through 25th. And then one other thing. If you're listening from jail or prison, feel free to give us a call or drop us a note, and we'll get the stuff to you to begin the Crossroads Bible Institute Grow in Grace Bible Study Program. It's dynamite. It's free, and it's only for those of you who are listening in jail or prison. The number's 1-800-KEY-LIFE, Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3. The email address is steve@keylife.org. Well, let's turn to some of these questions. This is from Tennessee. We get this a lot. Can I lose my salvation? No, if you could, you would have. And you say, well, that's not the answer. I want you to say something from the Bible. I guess I could do that. But you need to know that if you believe, and even those who believe you can lose your salvation, if they understand the Bible and understand grace, know that that's not easy. That you got to really stomp on the name of Christ and turn away and spit on everything that you believe. I mean, you don't lose your salvation for every white lie you told. But I personally believe that the Bible clearly teaches that you can't ever lose your salvation. In the 10th chapter of John, there are 10 guarantees that you will not lose your salvation. Paul said in Philippians 1:6 that God begins it in you, and when God begins something, he brings it to completion, and the fact of its beginning is the promise of its completion. The doctrine of election says that you were chosen when there wasn't anything good or bad in you, and God isn't going to change his mind because his attribute is immutability. And I could go on and on and on. But back to what I originally said, which I kind of like, that if you could lose your salvation, you would have lost yours. People are always saying, Steve, you preach cheap grace. Listen, if it weren't cheap, I couldn't afford it. It wasn't cheap to God. It cost him his son. But it's got to be free to me because I'm not good enough to earn it for anyways. And I'm not good enough to hold it. You're a lot worse than you think you are. God's grace is a lot bigger than you think it is, Jack Miller says. So, no, I don't believe you can lose your salvation. If you could, you would. Or if I could, I would. But he holds me. I don't hold him. And And that gives me a freedom and a joy that is so incredible. And it's one of the things that makes me better than I am. This is Ontario, Canada. What happens to Christians when they die? Well, first they do die. It's one out of one. And then the Bible is interesting in that it doesn't give us much information about details. We know there will be no more pain, no more tears. There is an incredible symbolism of gold and jewels, but I think that symbolism, you know, I don't think gold is going to be that big a deal. And we know that God's going to be there, and we're going to praise and worship around his throne. Look at the way he shines. All of those things are going to be there in heaven, but the Bible doesn't give us a lot of specifics about heaven. I believe that when you die, that you enter a place that isn't time. I was reading one of the Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision this morning for my devotions, and the Puritan was praying that God, in whom time resides. In other words, there's no past or present or future with God. When you die, you move into that realm too. That's where there seems to be some kind of apparent but not real contradiction in the Bible. Some places to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. Today you will be with me in paradise. 1 Corinthians, when Paul's talking about the resurrection, says that the sound of the last trumpet, the dead in Christ shall rise. And you say, wait. I thought it was going to happen right now. Well, the classical answer to that is that when you die, the spiritual part of you resides with God forever. And that at the resurrection of the body, your resurrected body, along with that which is already resurrected, will be joined together. And that may be true. I just believe that when you die, you move outside of time, and past and present and future are there, and you are immediately before the throne of grace. But that's all surmise. The truth is that when you die, if you're a believer, it's settled for all of eternity. And you're going to live forever. No less days, as the hymn says, than when we first began. Well, I could read a question, but I wouldn't have time to answer it, so I'm just going to chit-chat until I've run out this clock. Don't forget the Poop Pastors Conference. That's going to be life-changing for pastors. And don't forget, when you write or call, to give us the call letters of this great station. Don't forget, if you're in jail or prison, the Crossroads Bible Institute program. Now I can go. Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.